everybody's life. God's special plan. And you know, if you could choose that special plan for your life, if we had sense enough to choose it, we'd choose what God wants us to have in His special plan, and we had sense enough to choose it. Well, there's the four ways to know God's will in that special plan in your life. And one of those wills is the will principle, and then the word principle, the wisdom principle, and the walk principle. Those four, and they come in order this way. The will principle, you never get past the will principle until you start surrendering. Then when you surrender to the Lord, you move to the next step, and that's get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into you. And then you start asking and praying for wisdom. And where does wisdom come from? It comes from the Lord. Then you pass A, B, and C, and then you move on to the serving principle, the walk principle in life. Very interesting is to be in God's will. No matter where that might carry you, you'll be the happiest person that you can be when you're in God's will. Whether it's the middle of Africa, no matter what God's got for you to do, in God's will is the happiest place for you. Knowing God's will. God promises we would know His will. He would guide us and teach us and instruct thee in His will. God has a plan for every person and a will for every person ever coming to this world. But we are so educated that we kind of lost our way. God promises, though, that we get in His will, He will lead us and guide us. And the sweetness of life is know God's will and surrender to His will. And that is the sweetest, sweetest place to be on this side of eternity. There's one verse of scripture, two verses of scriptures in Psalms 32, verse 8 and verse 9. God said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the ways which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eyes. Then he says, Be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bits and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Let us pray. Again, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for that precious word. And tonight, as we open up the mirror of thy word, as we look into it, and Father, to see your will in our life, for us to be happy and content and peace is to know your will and to follow your will. And we just thank you, Lord, that your will is perfect. Father, we just want to thank you for each one that's here this night, that we may have an understanding, the Lord, of being closer to you and walking that narrow path of life, God, that leads, Lord, to the joy that, Father, we must seek each day of our life and the contentment and the peace that, Father, it comes through you. Lord, we want to thank again for the people that's already in your will tonight, that's turned aside from their busy schedules and, Father, has made their way to here this place to worship you and to praise you. And to lift up the name of Jesus Christ and also lift up these other names that we have, Lord, that's on the prayer list, our hearts and our minds, our family members, our loved ones that's hurting, Father, that to lift them up to you in these unspoken requests tonight, that the Father, you know all about the situations and family life and, Father, the need, the pain that we have in this day that we're living in. And we want to thank you, Lord, that you are the great God, Father, that you have all power in heaven and earth, and we want to thank you, Lord, for that love and mercy that you have upon each and every one of us this day. Help us, Lord, with this understanding of your will, that we might grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you again in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. In Isaiah 8:58-11 says, the Lord shall guide thee continuously and satisfy thy soul. You know, if you want to be satisfied, you got to be in the will of the Lord. I got several verses of scriptures I'll probably read tonight because of this title of this message and also these four principles that we need to talk about. Usually I just take a few verses of scripture, but you might want to jot them down. I'll read them to you tonight. But Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He will direct your path. He will guide you continuously. See, we have our Father above us, which controls all things. And then we have the God the Son besides us, and He directs our footsteps. Then we have God the Holy Spirit in us and presses on our hearts and our mind and shows us the way. That is the way that God wants us to walk. So God has a special plan for your life, and you need to get in on it if you're not in on it already. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God have before ordained that we should walk in them." God's got a way and a work that we should do. God has a plan, a specific plan, that we ought to be enjoying it. We ought to have this duty and delight to find and to follow God's plan for our life. There's these four ways to know the will of God and get in on the will of God. And everybody wants to get in on the will of God. I know. Tonight, I know every one of us wants to do that. All right, the first principle, you know, is that old will principle, surrender. You got to surrender to the will of the Lord, the first principle that we're talking about tonight. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us about surrendering. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now we should say amen to that, to surrender. In that verse of Scripture, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." Remember in your Bible, when you find that word, therefore, you need to see what it's there for. And most all the time in the New Testament, it's always a hinge to go back to what's already been said in the past verses, what God has already been talking about in His Word. Therefore, and it says, you know, "you beseech you, therefore, brethren, on the basis of what God has done for you, that you should surrender to God's will on the basis of what God has already done for you." Now, isn't that reason enough tonight? Should you surrender tonight to God's will on the basis of what He's already done for you in your life? There ought not to be another reason. Now, I mean, that should be enough. As old Paul wrote this, that ought to be enough for every one of us to think what He's done for me, think what He's done for you, that you should surrender because what He's done for you. Each one of us, you don't surrender to a plan, as I'm talking about. God's got a plan, but you don't surrender to a plan, but you surrender to a person. It's not the plan. For instance, me and Marshall and Daryl, we surrendered to being a pastor, preaching. But we didn't really surrender to this position. We had to surrender to the Lord. You see, no matter what God has called you, teachers, singers, whatever it might be, in any office, whatever you do for the Lord, He haven't called you to surrender to whatever that is. He's called you to surrender to Himself, Him. You see, whenever you surrender to Jesus, no matter what He's called you to do, everything else is going to come automatic. When you surrender to Jesus, it don't matter what the calling might be on your life. And He's got a calling for every one of us. So you surrender to a person, whatever it might be. We need to surrender to Jesus Christ. God's will for your life is not like a road map. He's not just going to lay it out on the table and show you where to go. It's not going to be, set out there. We might see a way out yonder in the future, but it's a relationship. Really, the will of God is a relationship with Him. No matter, like I said, no matter what He's called you to do, no matter what office, whatever in the body of Christ that Jesus Christ called, every one of us is saved. He's always called us for some position in the body of Christ to serve Him. And we surrender to a relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter what it is. And once we surrender that relationship to that person, you see, no matter what God's called you to do, it's going to be good. Because Jesus Christ said what? "I am the way." That's that relationship. "I am the way." Now, tonight, if I was asked you, would you take a blank piece of paper and write out, "Lord, here it is, Lord. Sign my name. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'll sign my name as blank. No matter what it is, God, you just tell me what it is and I'll do it." How many of us has really been that far? Anytime, anywhere, any cost, I will do it. I know that Daryl and Marshall feel like I did. I know that the rest of y'all have been called to do something for the Lord, and I was called, you know, to be a minister and a pastor. You know, when I first got worried about this thing, I was scared to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll surrender. Whatever you want me to do, I was scared to death. And I know y'all know what I'm talking about. I was scared to death. I thought I was going to have to go to Africa. I sure did. And you know, I have trouble with the English language. Could y'all imagine me trying to speak Hawaii and over in Africa? I'd have a time, wouldn't I? I was scared. I was scared to death, really. Now, but why do we think that God's will is going to be something that we're not going to like or something we can't hardly stand? We're scared of it. God's not wait. See, for instance, I got three sons. Y'all got kids. Most of y'all got kids now. And so if your kid comes at you and says, Daddy, I'm going to do everything in the world for you. I'm going to do everything that you want me to do, just what it is. I'm going to do it from now on out. They probably won't ever say that to you. But if they did, all right, you say, buddy, I got you where I want you now. I'm going to make your life miserable. I'm going to pile on so much stuff on you, you won't know what I've done. I'm going to really fix you up good. Would you say that? Or no, would you give that child more liberty and freedom because they was willing to do anything that you asked them to do? Same way with God. Whenever you say, yes, Lord, he's not going to pile up something on you that's going to cause you misery and suffering. But we have that fear. I don't know where we have it from. Got it from. This is from old Satan himself, that I was just scared to say yes. But are you willing to say, God, whatever you want me to do, no matter what it costs, I'll do it anytime, anywhere? You know, without that, you'll never really know God's will and never really get on to you willing to really do what God has called you and God wants you to do. God wants you to do for yourself what, you know, that you really would do if you had sense enough to ask him to do it. We don't know that. We'd be afraid. John 4:18, it says in John 14, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Now, this is not talking about your perfect love, that you love God, but it's talking about God's perfect love for you. You see, God loves you in a perfect way. And knowing that God loves you in a perfect way, why should you fear God and anything he would tell you, any will he had for you? Because it's perfect love. And that's what that verse means. God has got a perfect love for you, so no matter what he's told you to do, whatever the will is for your life, hey, there should be no fear because he has the perfect love. He wants you to be there, happy as you can be. And he's got all these plans for us to be happy in these few little days that we have here left on this earth. If we would just surrender to his will, his perfect love casts out all fear of whatever you want me to do. Anytime, any place, any cost, God, you just tell me and I'm willing to do it. Is everybody willing to do that this hour? Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You see, it's kind of like over there in Matthew, I think it's 6:33. It says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things that we're trying to get be added unto you. That's about what that verse is talking about there in that scriptures. Delight thyself also in the Lord. The Lord comes first, and then he give you those desires in your heart. But see, I'll tell you one thing will happen. Desires your heart to change. They'll change, won't they? Yes, sirree. When you give your life to the Lord, you surrender to the Lord, all these things that he's talking about this world. And what we think of, we want, we can't get enough of this world. We can't get enough of this old world. We just can't get enough. And everything we give this world, we can't keep. But you get the Lord. When you give the Lord, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee these things, the desire of thy heart, and your heart a change. It will change. Jesus said, my desire is to do his will, my Father's will. That's Jesus' desire. And our desire should be able to do Jesus Christ's will. I want to do his will. 37:4, delight thyself in the Lord. And you say, here I am, Lord. As old Isaiah said, send me. Here I am, Lord. I give myself to you. I'm ready anytime, anywhere. And when you're ready to surrender, are you ready to surrender tonight? Anything God tells you to do. If God told you to do something you hadn't surrendered to, whatever it might be, when you get ready for that, that is the will principle. Then you move on to the next step, the word principle. If you don't get the will principle, that is surrender, you're never ready for that word principle. The word principle is just getting the word into us. Saturate ourselves, our minds with the word of God. This is one of my favorite scriptures here in Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've always liked that. I've always liked that word. God will direct your life right out of the Bible. Right out of the Bible. He won't send you a spotlight, but he'll send you a lamp or a lantern that you might understand what he's talking about. You know, and I explained this several times. I guess the reason I like it so good, because all of us like to have a spotlight. I got some spotlight. You shine right way on down back of the field. You see way out there with these high-power spotlights. But you know, they used to didn't have those things. Had a lantern. Most of us are young enough, we don't remember too much going out at night with a lamp or a lantern. Some of us do. Very few of us do. Have these oil lamps or a lantern walk outside with. Or either a fat lighter splinter as you see outside. We didn't have no flashlights. Y'all don't remember that, do you? I'm probably the oldest one in here tonight. Anyway, with those go out at night, when you had to go out at night, you had, a lamp or a lantern. And it wouldn't shine very far over there. But every time you take a step, it would light up that next step. You take a step, it'd light up that next step. And if you keep walking, you see, you can walk around the world with that lamp. Go just every time you took a step, it light up the next step. And that's what God is saying for you in this verse of scriptures. Every time you take a step in God's will, he's the light of his word, light up that next step. Now, he's not going to show you way down there back of the field. He didn't ever promise us that, but he'll take you a step at a time. Every time that we're going to take that lamp and take one step, he'll light up that step, like that old lantern. He'll just keep moving it further and further and further along till we find out the will of God. He just keeps walking with us. Now, the Bible, we know, is not a necessary book of laws, although it's got a lot of laws in the book of the Bible. And it's not a book of formulas, as a lot of people think it is. There's a lot of promises in the Bible, but it's also not a book about promises. Really, it's just a book about principles. There's a lot of promises, hundreds of promises in the Bible. There's hundreds of laws in the Bible, and there's no formulas in the Bible. A lot of people use the Bible as formulas. You know, they take a verse and they pray this verse, and this is supposed to happen when you pray this verse of Scripture. Oh, Hagee on television, he's got some good things to say, but he's off on his theology so much. He's got a little pamphlet out that I read. He's got a bunch of verses of scriptures. You read this verse of scriptures, this is supposed to happen. You pray this verse of scripture, this is supposed to happen. Like over in Ezekiel, you know, you read this verse of scripture over in Ezekiel, you pray somebody got a blood problem, it just stops bleeding blood. You know, that's a formula. There are no formulas in the Word of God. The Bible is not a book of laws, it's not a book of promises, it's a book of principles. A book of principles. And if you remember that, that'll help you a long ways through your study of the Word of God. As we think about this, these principles. A lot of people use this now, for instance, for the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs, see, is not a book of promises. It's a book of principles. And here's the way it works, for instance. Proverbs 22:6, talk about our children. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, you say, I've done that. I raised my child in church. I brought my kids to church. I've done everything I could. And they got old, and he's gone out, and he's, oh, or she's done, look what they're into. It didn't work for me. Well, that's not a promise. That's a principle. It's a principle that God says normally a principle is used. If we do that, we know they have a better chance of staying on that right road. Amen? If you raise a child that way, you have a better chance of staying on that right road. That's a book of principles. Proverbs is a book of principles. It's not a book of promises. It's principles. And so if we remember this, this will help us that God guides us along the way. As I said, hundreds of promises, man, there's hundreds of laws, but as we talk about this, it's principles here this night. The word principle we understand tonight. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises now, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, everybody's not going to be saved, but it's God's will for everybody to be saved. But if they'll come to the Lord, they shall be saved. He will save them. God says he's promised that, but the principle is if you will come. So much of the will of God is revealed in his word. I mean, there's a lot of God's will already revealed in this word. Now, you know, tonight we already know a lot of God's will if we just do it. See, we already know a lot of God's will if we do it. And if we don't do what God has already showed us, he's not going to keep showing us more and more and more. See, there's hurdles in studying the Word of God and working the Word of God in our Christian life. There's hurdles that you see, if you don't come back to that hurdle, like for instance, you see, he's telling us to do certain things. If you don't do those certain things, he's not going to give you more and more and more and more. You've got to come back and get right to start with. So we find this night, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3 also tells us, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now he says, you know what, he's working on us, sanctification, sanctify us. So many great principles in the Word of God. That's the will principle. Now that is the surrender to Jesus Christ, the will principle. That don't sound too hard, does it? And then that word principle, get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get into you. And then you begin to think the thoughts of God. Now you see this right here is the mind of God. That's the mind of God, the Word of God. You know what Jesus Christ said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Here it is. that's every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is it, the Bible, the Word of God. And that's what we should live by, not just by bread. And then we have this word principle. Then we have this wisdom principle. Now, we pray and then we ask. We got the will principle, I'm ready to surrender my life. We got the word principle, I'm ready to read and study. And then we got the wisdom principle that we pray and ask. And you know what that is over in James 1 and 5? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberty and uprighteth not, and it shall be given him. Now, if we want wisdom, we got to go to the wisdom of the man. That's God. And ask him and pray this for wisdom. For instance, early disciples did this. You know, whenever Judas had to be replaced of those disciples, early disciples, and they chose two men, Justus and Matthias, wasn't it? Over in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 24, they was fixed to choose. They didn't know who to choose. They didn't know who to choose. They needed this wisdom to choose. So Acts 1 and 24 tells us, and they prayed, and they said, Thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Give us the wisdom to tell us which one shall we choose out of these two men. They asked for this wisdom right out of the Word of God. So you see, they prayed and they asked. Wisdom is the principle to ask God. And then it's also a principle to listen. You see, we might ask God a whole lot more than what we're willing to listen to what he's already told us to do. How many wants to be real honest with God tonight and be honest with God and say he's already told you more than you're willing to do? Has God already told you more than what you're willing to do? He has me. He always tells me more than I'm willing to do. You do this, he's going to tell you a little bit more. But you see, every one of us, is any of us could do a little bit more for the Lord? Is any of us could do a little bit more for the Lord? Okay, and then listen to God when he speaks. Jesus said, my sheep hears my voice. Now, one reason for fasting, anybody ever fasted and prayed? It's nothing we should do. Out, let everybody know, well, I'm fasting. I'm kind of old spiritual. I'm fasting now. But anybody ever fasted, maybe one meal, maybe two meals, whatever it is, it's not a command we have to do. But if you do this, you know what it's all about? Fasting, it's really sharpening your ability to have spiritual ears to hear what God is trying to tell you. You know, we're so busy in our schedule, you know, we don't want to miss a meal, we don't want to miss anything, and we're so busy that we don't really have time to have our spiritual ears in tune to what God has to tell us in the fast world we're living on. That fits most of us. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to thy chariot. Now, Philip was listening, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch that he went and witnessed to. And he said, you know, you leave now, this revival you in, you go out there in the desert. And he listened to him. God has spoke to you. God spoke to me. Have God ever told you, you know, has somebody ever, God ever put somebody on your heart, you're concerned about it, you worry about it, you think about this person, that person? God does that for you. But then do you go and see that person? You know, there's a lot of people to hear that's not here tonight. A lot of people not even coming out. Sure, like, God put any of these people on your hearts and your mind that I wonder about those people that some reason or another. Did you go see him? Did you visit him? He's talking to you. Acts 13 and 2 tells us, as they ministered to the Lord and fast, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now they had another job to do, calling these two in the ministry to go out and visit. Disciples in a prayer meeting, And it says in that verse of scriptures, as they ministered to the Lord. They was in a prayer meeting. It says they ministered to the Lord. Now, how do they do that? Well, to start with, you start praising the Lord. You know, every church service, we ought to come and start praising the Lord. I'm not talking about hollering and praying the Lord, but we come in an atmosphere of praise. We praise the Lord to serve the Lord. Every church service, to start with, we ought to come to church to minister to the Lord in the atmosphere of praising His name. We come tonight for the atmosphere of praising the Lord. Then the second thing, we ought to be in the atmosphere of praising the saved, one another. And then we must go and praise and have an atmosphere, you know, of ministering to the lost. Minister to the Lord and holding up His name. We minister to one another to save, but we need to minister to the lost. If we don't do all three, if we leave one of them out, what are we really doing for the Lord? Nehemiah, whenever he rebuilt the walls in Jerusalem, Nehemiah 7 and 5 says, "And my God put into my heart to call together the nobles and the rulers and the people." God put it in his heart to call these people together. God ever put something on your heart to go and tell the people? You see, God telling you to do something. Well, is it really God telling me to do this? Tell you some ways you'll know. You see, you need to try the Spirit. Maybe you need the Lord, maybe some other Spirit. You know, you got two on your shoulder, one on each side whispering to your ear. You have the spirit of evil and the spirit of the Lord. How do you tell the difference? One thing, God's will never disagree with His word. God's will never disagree with His word. Always be in tune with the word of God. 2 Peter 1, 17, 18, and 19. "For we received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" That's when they were Peter, James, and John were on Mount Transfiguration. "And His voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in that holy mountain. We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Peter and James, we have here in this 2 Peter, he is saying that I was there. I was there on that mountain. Peter, James, and John, I was there. I saw Moses and Elijah, and I heard the voice of God out of heaven. We heard it with our ears, and we saw it with our eyes. And then listen to what it says in verse 19. "We have also a more sure word." Better than our eyes and better than our ears. We have a sure word of prophecy. Don't wonder what, but I saw this, I seen this. You don't know what I've seen. I've experienced this, I've experienced that. I know what happened. I believe this because of what happened to me and the experience in this. Hey, could you have any more bigger experience or better experience than witnessing, seeing Moses and Elijah and Jesus Christ being transformed and the voice of God speaking out of heaven? And then they say the word of God is more sure than all y'all's experiences. I believe this, such and such, in the Bible, because I had this such and such experience. Have all the experiences you want. I'm going to tell you what, if it's not of the word of God, it's not of God. And this is a more sure word because it's of God, out of the word of God. That's the reason people get off in so many tangents, because they don't believe the word of God. And what I believe, what I feel, what I've seen, what I've experienced. Peter, James, and John had an experience. They said, "Buddy, the Bible is more sure than what we've seen with these eyes and what we've heard with these ears. The word of God is a more sure prophecy. Whereunto well that we take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star rise in our hearts." In that verse 19. Yeah, if it's contrary to the Bible, it's not of God. God guides us. God never shoves. He always guides. Romans 8:14, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." God's voice is calling you. It's always persistent. Ain't that right, Daryl? He ever called you just one time to the pastor. Marcy called you one time. He just keep on and on and on and on and on. And he wouldn't let you sleep. He kept on with you, did he not? Every one of you. Not just in the ministry, not just a pastor. We all ministers. But he kept on calling you. "God, leave me alone. I'm doing all right. Leave me alone." Well, he won't leave you alone. Praise God, he hadn't left us alone. Ain't that right? We'd been all to be in a mess if God left us alone. Just think where we'd have been if God would have left us alone. You see, he speaks continuously. He keeps on speaking. Proverbs 4:18. He says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, just for daylight. I don't get up for daylight, but I used to. I know what it is to get up for daylight. But you see, just for daylight, you see, you can't see the sun. It's dark. And then after a while, you see something peeking over the horizons. In that gray dawn of a morning, you start seeing shadows start coming up. And then it gets a little brighter and a little brighter. And directly, it's high noon where there are no shadows. Well, that's what the scriptures are talking about. In life, he shines more and more into that perfect day whenever there are not no shadows in our life. God is using this for us to understand. God's using our mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Remember again, present yourself a living sacrifice. Ephesians 5 and 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understand this. Also, we have 1 Corinthians 10 and 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Again, we have these principles. But we have this walk principle as I hurry into the last part. The serving principle, Proverbs 3 and 6. In all the ways of knowledge him, he shall direct your path. The Lord shall direct your path. You know, he can't direct your path when you're standing still. He can't direct your path when you're standing still, a church, a person, or a family. As we move into God's will, then he can direct our path. As again, I'm old-timey, and I use these old illustrations because I remember back when automobiles, trucks, and whatever else, they didn't have power steering. Tractors, they didn't have power steering. And sometime an old car, truck, or tractor, whatever, break down, and you had to try to drive and steer that thing and put it straight and get it lined up with no power steering. It wouldn't crank, and it wouldn't do no good if you had a power steering. That wouldn't work anyway. But you had a hard time trying to pull the wheel. But when it started moving, I mean, when it started moving, man, you could drive it easy when it started moving. But then if you stop and try to turn the wheel, you have a hard time of turning those wheels when that thing is stopped. You see, God can't direct our path if we standing still. That old steering wheel is just hard to turn. But if we're moving, it makes it a lot easier than God can guide us as we're moving into his will. You see a ship coming into harbor. These great ships, now used to, you know, they had to have tugboats. I don't see it on television anymore. I don't have tugs or not. But anyway, they come in the harbor, and they had to have tugboats because that ship was steel. They cut the motors. And you couldn't steer the ship because you couldn't turn it because it was steel. And they had to have tugs to shove it around into dock. But when that giant ocean ship got to going out on open waters, get up those knots flying through the water and water flying everywhere. Did you know they can guide that million-ton ship? Aircraft carriers, millions of tons. They can drive it without no problem whatsoever because it's moving and it's going forward. And just like the will is for your life, you stand still and stick out your tongue inside your mouth like an old hard-headed mule and you won't move in God's will. You think God's going to guide you and turn you. But just as soon as you start going in his will, it's so much easier to be able to be turned in God's will. Little things, the little things. Easy to turn then. God's will is not a roadmap, not a blueprint, but it's a scroll that we unroll in life. I think maybe sometime our scroll might be getting close to the end. Abraham sent his servant Eleazar to seek a bride for Isaac. Eleazar said as he left Abraham to go back into that homeland, he said in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 27, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He started off in the way, as he is moving in the will of his master. And then it says, the Lord led me to the house of my master. As you start moving in the will of your master, the Lord will guide you. All we have to do is just trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Proverbs says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And that word direct is like a bulldozer cleaning out the way for you to go on. When you leave here, if everybody's going to Patterson, we have a highway. It's easy to go to Patterson on that highway. Now, you could probably make it as dry as it is if you drive the ditches. I believe you could probably make it in some of our trucks if we ride in the ditches all the way to Patterson. But God has provided for you a highway. Bulldozer out and path. You can make it probably on that old ditch, but wouldn't it be easier to get up on the highway of life and God's will as He directs our way? God says the will principle, the word principle, and the wisdom principle, and then the walk principle start serving Him as we move out into His will. Thank you tonight. Are you in God's will? We got a song. Are you in God's will tonight? Are you willing to do everything that God has told you to do? Are you willing to take your life and say, here's my life, a blank check. I'm just going to sign it over to you, Lord. I'm ready to do anything you want to do. Are you scared to do that tonight? What God wants you to do? Think it's going to be hard? Be the best thing that you ever done in your life.